Well, since June has the frog in his throat, I'm singing the special today. Just kidding. I'm not going to do that. But that hymn that was just sung reminds us of the continuity of our faith that flows through all of time. That, you know, the God of Noah is our God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is our God. The Redeemer who took His people out of Egypt is our Redeemer. The Lawgiver who thundered from Sinai is our God. And so we have a great heritage that runs throughout history in our most holy faith. And so hopefully we do cherish it and hold it true until the end. Well, if you have your New Testaments, I invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read the last four verses of that chapter, verses 19 to 22. We've kind of been parked a little bit in this second part of Ephesians 2 for a while. And I guess all sections of Scripture is a good section, but this is just rather meaty. And so I hope you've been encouraged in us thinking about the truths that are presented here. And as I usually ask, I'll do again, that if you have it before you and if you're willing and able, would you please stand for the reading of God's holy and inspired word as we read it here in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. And let's pray together. Our Father, we would ask for the power of your Spirit today, that you would enliven the preaching of your word, that you would enliven the hearing of your word, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear so that we might be doers of the word. Lord, cause our affections to be inflamed for your Son, who is our Savior and the author and the finisher of our faith, the very foundation on which our salvation rests. Encourage us this day by your word, and I pray it in the name of your Son, who is the Word. Amen. You may be seated. Well, for many years in my job, I would often read blueprints, either to bid a job, or if we had a job, to kind of know how to go about doing the job that was required from the people that had hired us. And these blueprints, when I would unroll them and I would flip through them and look for the things pertaining to what I was going to do, but these blueprints would tell me what I needed to know for my phase or of the construction process. Now, there were many things about the building that were not included in the set of blueprints that I would consult, because my concern was just with the finishes. It was with the finish schedule, and I just needed the floor plan. I didn't need a complete set of blueprints, and so they have different kinds of blueprints depending on what part of the process of the building that you are engaged in. Because you see, when I got to the job site, the structure was really already there. I mean, it was already well underway. I really wasn't a part and didn't have anything to do with the foundation phase of the building. That wasn't my part. You see, I was in the finish part of the building, not the foundation part of the building. But when I got there, there was a whole bunch of other trades already engaged in the work on the building. And all of these various trades, whether they were carpenters or sheetrockers or painters or plumbers or even us tile and marble guys, you know, we all got together for a community project. We all had different roles, but we were brought together in a unified purpose of building upon a finished foundation, a structure that was already there, and so we were brought in to finish it off, if you will. Well, God is building a building. God is building a temple where He dwells and where His people will dwell with Him. He is in a great building project for a house of worship, a place to where He is fellowshipped with and other people fellowship with Him and with each other. And this magnificent temple is being completed in phases. I mean, there are stages to God's building process, just as there are stages in the building of any building. And in God's holy temple, there was a lot of groundwork that happened. You know, anytime a building is going, they don't just, you know, just start building. I mean, there's a whole lot of process that goes on really before you see anything. I mean, the ground has to be prepared, and there was a lot of groundwork done in the Old Testament. The Old Testament prophets laid the groundwork. They prepared the soil. They dug down deep to get ready for the foundation to be laid. And then in the New Testament, the foundation was laid by our blessed Lord Jesus Christ and His apostles. They came in and they laid the foundation for the temple of the Holy God. And then the church, God brings His church by His Spirit, and He brings us all together, all the various kinds of trades and people. He brings us together in our, to have the very, all the finishing aspects that are added on to beautify God's holy temple. You see, there's stages to God's building. To God's temple. There's some groundwork, there's the foundation, the structure that it all rests on, and then there's all the finish aspects that goes on the outside for beauty. And do you know that the unity of Christianity, the thing about our faith, the thing that brings us all together in all of our diversity that makes up the church, the unity of Christianity is in our connectivity to the foundation. That is the thing that binds us all together. You see, there is a foundation, there is a perimeter and some parameters, there is an area that was laid, a structure, and we all come together within that structure and on that foundation to do something together in the kingdom of God. Now, my intention today is to try and to convey from this text two, you might say, very simple but very important truths when we think about the foundation that is mentioned here. First of all is this, that a foundation only comes once. In a building process, the foundation comes first, and it comes once. It's not a repeatable thing. You don't continue to lay foundation after foundation after foundation. It comes first, it comes once, and it's not a repeatable process, and you build upon the foundation. So that's the first truth. The foundation comes first. And the second one is this, that our Christian unity, that the unity where this is the second half of Ephesians 2 has been talking a lot about, that we are unified. Our Christian unity comes by our connectivity to the one foundation. God brings, if you will, all the various trades together into one place, into one area, around one border of the foundation that has been laid, and all of us work together in building the one building, in building the temple of the Holy God where He is to be worshiped and where we fellowship with Him and with each other. Our unity is in our connectivity to the foundation. And as long as we're on the foundation, we're unified. If we get off the foundation, there will be disunity. And so let's think about it here briefly. First of all, about the foundation and the truth that the foundation comes first. And here in our text, we read that the foundation is actually a person. Look at verse number 20 of chapter 2. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone. So Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, the most important piece of the building, as it were, that sets the angle, that sets the dimension. It's what the whole building rests upon. Jesus Christ is the foundation of our faith. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the foundation of the church. He is the foundation of God's holy temple. God is building a building. God is building a temple, a spiritual place where He is to be worshipped. And that place is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. In fact, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 11 that no other foundation can be laid than that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. That is it. He's the most important piece of the building because He's what holds the whole building together. He is the foundation. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's what it's built on. Our faith is built on Jesus Christ. And so on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. He's the cornerstone. He is the foundation of the temple of the church. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. And this foundation of Jesus Christ, He is a very firm foundation. He can be trusted in because of the security and the strength that He has. The prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 28, verse number 16, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation, firmly placed. And he who believes in it will not be disturbed." Again, God says, I'm going to lay a special foundation, a foundation that's fixed, a foundation that you can bet on. And this foundation is firm. There is no other foundation other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you think of the word picture here in this analogy of God building a building and a temple, that Jesus is the only place to meet God. Okay, you know, I mean, the scripture says that God does not dwell in temples made by man. You know, man got all kind of religions and all kind of temples and places, and this is where we meet God. But God is making a temple to where we can meet Him, and that temple is in His Son, who is the foundation, and Jesus is the place where we meet God. He is the foundation. He is the way to meet God. He says, I'm the way and the truth and the life. He is the door, and if we're going to enter into salvation, we have to go through Jesus. He says that He is the temple. He says, you destroy this temple, I will raise it in 3 days. And the temple He spoke of was His body. The body of Jesus is the very foundation of the church. It is where we come together to meet God, because God dwells in His temple, in the Lord Jesus Christ. The fixed place for worship is a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a firm, fixed foundation, and those who trust in Him, those that build on Him, those who are standing on Him, will not be disappointed. He is a firm foundation. But Jesus is also a rejected foundation. That is, when He came into the world and people see the cornerstone, they said, no. We reject Him as the foundation. In fact, Jesus, I think in Matthew 21 or 22, He says, you know, he who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and who this stone falls on will be utterly crushed, because the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. In fact, let me just read from Acts chapter 4. Here's a message, Acts chapter 4 and verses 10 to 12. Let it be known to all of you and to all people in Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you builders, but which became the chief cornerstone, and there's salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. You see, He is the firm cornerstone, the only one that the temple of God can be built on, but the builders, the religious leaders, utterly rejected Him. They says, no, we're not going to build upon Him. But even though He was rejected, He was made the very head of the corner. They crucified Him, they reject Him, but God raised Him from the dead. And though He is rejected, He is still the firm foundation, because He is a fixed, chosen, and precious cornerstone. In fact, one more in 1 Peter chapter 2. Another precious portion of the Word of God that mentions this. 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and following. And coming to Him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men. Again, most people reject Christ as the foundation. They want to lay another foundation, another temple, another way to God. But he is rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. And you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus. Again, we're all being built on top of Jesus. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone. And he who believes in Him will not be disappointed. And this precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected has become the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Again, Jesus is the fixed foundation. He's not going anywhere. He cannot be moved. And people stumble over because they reject Him, but He is the chosen, precious costly cornerstone. He is the foundation of God's temple. The foundation is a person. But not only is the foundation a person, but the foundation is also made up of persons. You know, our text says in Ephesians 2:20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Now, Jesus is the cornerstone, the foundation. He holds the whole building up, but he is not alone. He is with his apostles and with his prophets. He's the cornerstone, but these other persons make up the entire foundation of God's holy temple and his church. You see, to use the analogy of construction, you see that the Old Testament prophets did all the groundwork. If you ever notice, they, you know, put in a big building, you know, downtown. Man, there's a whole bunch of stuff goes on and you don't even see it, and it's below ground and who knows how far going below ground. There's a lot of groundwork that happens even before the foundation goes up. That's the Old Testament. The Old Testament prophets is laying the groundwork and doing the groundwork, getting it ready for the foundation. Then in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ comes, and the Lord Jesus Christ and his apostles are the foundation. They are what holds up God's holy temple, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is of utmost importance that we remember Christ is the foundation, but not him by himself. We must also remember the importance of the apostles. The apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ are foundational to our most holy faith and to the temple of the living God. In fact, in the last book of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 21, I have this interesting description of the New Jerusalem, but in Revelation 21, verse 14 of this city of God, we read, "And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." Isn't that an interesting picture? That here you have the very foundation of the walls of the city of God, the bride, the people of God, but the foundation is the 12 apostles of the Lamb. They are foundational and hold up our most holy faith. In fact, John, the Apostle John, says something in 1 John 4 and verse 6. He says, "We are from God, and he who knows God listens to us." Isn't that a rather audacious statement? We are from God, and he who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. Again, he said, if you don't listen to the apostles, you're not from God. You're not part of God's temple. You're not from God. And by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Isn't that interesting? John here is saying, I'm foundational. And if you listen to me, then you'll listen to God. If you don't listen to me, then you are not listening to God. Do you know that to reject the apostles, to reject who they are and what they taught, is to reject God and to reject the Son of God whom God the Father sent? Because the apostles are foundational to the church. We are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Jesus reiterated this very point in Luke 10 and verse number 16, where our Lord says to his apostles, "The one who listens to you listens to me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me." Again, he tells his apostles, if they will listen to you and receive your message, then they'll listen to me. But if they reject you, it means they're rejecting me, and it means they're rejecting the one who sent me, who was his Father. Again, I think this is so critical that we understand that the foundation of the church, the foundation of the temple of God, the place where God is worshipped, is built on a person and the persons of his of Christ's apostles. And you know that some people, you hear it really kind of frequently, some people try to pit the apostles against one another and against the Lord Jesus Christ. That they might read something in one of the apostles' writing. Maybe it's Peter or maybe it's Paul. And they'll say, you know, I don't really want to quite accept what the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. And so they'll, you know, I've heard it say, well, that was just Paul. Or that was just Peter. As though we're not to have our faith built upon what Matthew and Paul and Peter and John, as though we're not to, our faith is not to be built on what they said, as though it somehow is of lesser value and lesser strength. Well, you know that Paul said he was the ambassador of Jesus Christ. I am an ambassador of God, that these apostles who saw the Lord Jesus Christ in his life and ministry and sat under his teaching and saw his death and burial and resurrection, they were directly sent by the Lord Jesus Christ to give a message, to give a truth on which the church is built. And so an apostle can write, as Paul did in 1 Corinthians 14:37, let he who is spiritual confirm that what I write to you is the Lord's command. That for Paul to write something and to say something, it's the same as Jesus to write it and say it. Or for John or Matthew or Peter or whatever else, because the apostles are foundational to the church. We are built upon Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, but built upon the foundation also of the apostles and prophets. You see, the foundation is all interconnected. You pour a foundation and you might have the piers or the cornerstone, and in the, you know, cement, you got all sorts of steel and rebar and stuff going through there that connects it all together because it's one unit. And Jesus is one unit with his apostles. They are foundational to our faith. And our Christian faith is built upon the eyewitness testimony of the apostles and what they saw and what they taught. Again, it is critical that we understand that our faith is historical. Our faith is not, you know, a myth and stuff that's just made up. It's built upon eyewitness testimony of certain people. In fact, the Apostle John writes when he opens his first little letter, he says that what was from the beginning, what we have heard and what we have seen with our eyes and what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. You see, our faith, the temple of God, the place where we worship, it's built upon the one person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his other persons of the apostles that give eyewitness testimony to what Jesus said and did and taught, and we have their teachings to build upon. The apostles' testimony and teaching are foundational to the church. Jesus says, "You are my witnesses." You go out into all the world and you tell them, and they certified their witness with their own blood. The faith of our fathers is built upon the faith and the testimony of the apostles. Which leads me to, I think, one of the main critical points I want to touch today, that in building a building, a foundation comes first. And it is not repeatable. Jude tells us, the half-brother of our Lord, that we are to earnestly contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. I mean, that there was a time in history after all the groundwork was laid in the Old Testament, that God laid a foundation for the most holy faith, and it was once for all entrusted and delivered to the saints. That is, the foundation is not continually being laid and poured. The writer of Hebrews says that in times past, you know, God spoke to us through the apostles and the prophets and, in many times and many different ways. But in these last days, He's spoken to us through His Son. And you know, God has nothing more to say to us that He hasn't already said to us in His Son. And through His apostles, because they are foundational. Let me just read this. I'm going to mess it up. In 2 Thessalonians 2:15, we have the apostle Paul saying, "So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the tradition which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us." Again, the foundation has been laid. We are to stand firm on the tradition that has already been taught, the foundation that's already there of Christ and His apostles, and we build upon what's already laid. And I say this because it bears saying today, because you know today that there's many are saying that there are apostles today. And that there are prophets today who are giving us God's words today. And I would just say, as a way of warning, beware of those who are trying to lay another foundation. Because a foundation, and the foundation of the church, was only laid once. After the groundwork of the Old Testament, and it was laid by Jesus Christ and the apostles, and there is no other foundation, though many are trying to make another foundation. You know, many are trying to build an annex building and to say it's connected to God's temple, but no, they're pouring another foundation over here. On another authority, on another foundation. No, we build upon what was already laid in history in the Lord Jesus Christ and upon His apostles. Might I remind you that we in the church today are like me and my subcontracting. We're in the finished part of the building. We're in that phase of the building. We're in the finished part, not the foundational part of God's temple. The foundation is laid, and we need to ensure that we are standing firm and holding to the traditions that have already been set in stone and not trying to make another foundation over on the side to start building upon it. We are to build upon a foundation that's already there and established. And this temple that God is building, this structure, is a living structure. Using this metaphor of a building, you know, when we think of the stones, but it is a living structure. Notice back in our text in verses 20 and 21, in whom the whole building, again, we are a God's building. 1 Corinthians 3, I think. 9, but anyway, it says, in whom the whole building being fitted together and growing into a holy temple. Again, this building, it's being fitted together and it's growing. In whom you are being built together into the dwelling of God in the Spirit. That really, God's temple, it's not a physical place. It is a spiritual place built with people. Hey, you ever seen a human pyramid? In fact, we have a family picture from several years ago, and we're at my sister-in-law's house, and we took a picture and we did a family pyramid. And in the, you know, when you do a human pyramid, you know, on the bottom, people, they've got to hold everybody else up. And so you put the strong ones down on the bottom, and then everybody else climbs on top and climbs on top and climbs on top. And do you know that's exactly how the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ is? That on the bottom you have the Lord Jesus Christ and you have his apostles. And we are being built together on top of them, a living structure that stand upon and rest upon the foundation of Christ and his apostles. We are, as Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2:5, we are living stones. He's the living stone, and we are the living stones that are built upon him. A living structure built upon spiritual truth that was taught by Christ and his apostles, built on the groundwork of all the Old Testament prophets. And again, this is important for us to know. And you know, Jesus dealt with a woman during his ministry who had a question for him in John chapter 4. She just said, hey, you know, she wasn't a Jew. And she says, you know, you Jews worship in Jerusalem, and us Samaritans, we worship in a different place. And you say we say you ought to come here, and you say you ought to go there. And Jesus answered her question on the place of worship by saying this: I tell you the truth, that a time is coming, and now is, where they won't say either in Jerusalem or in this mountain or in that mountain will you worship God, but you will worship God in spirit and in truth. Because that is the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. You see, it is not a physical temple, a physical location where we have to meet together to meet God, but it is in a special place built upon the spiritual truth taught by Christ and his apostles. It is built upon a person and a profession of faith. Our faith is in one place, and that one place is one person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and our faith has to be connected to the faith of our fathers, the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the temple. That is the place that he meets us, within the parameters of the foundation and built upon the one foundation. We have a common faith. And so the foundation is first. It's not repeated. But then, coming to the other point I want to hit, that our Christian unity, and again, Ephesians 2 has been a lot on unity. Our unity is in our connectivity to the foundation. The last part here in Ephesians 2 has all been about a unity, that Christ has taken down the ethnic barriers that divide us between a Jew and Gentile. Jesus Christ brings an assortment of sinners together, that he redeems us, but he also unites us, that he takes the sinners from every tribe, language, people, and nation. He brings them, makes them his people, and so we are a kingdom that will reign upon the earth, and he is using us as his material to make his building, to make his temple. But these sinners, from every tribe, language, people, and nation, we are the living stones of God's temple. And our part in the building, we are the finishing touches to God's temple. The structure is already laid. The foundation is there, but he brings us together in our various diversities, and he uses us to build his place of worship. Again, we are the finishing trades of God's holy temple. It's like when I would show up to the job site. The structure was already there, but then I had my part to do, and other trades had their part to do, and we were all doing different things, but all in bringing the building to its desired and designed completion. And so we are brought together as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in this day and age. We're brought together not to lay the foundation, but to finish the building and to decorate the temple and to beautify it with the things God has called us to do. We're all different and we have different trades and different things that God has called us to do, but we add to the decor and we add to the beauty of God's temple that is built upon the foundation that has already been laid. And when we think of our Christian unity, our unity comes from our common connectivity to the foundation. That is what unifies us. As long as we're building on the foundation, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not unified by ethnicity, but by connectivity to the foundation. We're connected to Christ. We're connected to His apostles and the faith that they taught. There is one common purpose, person. There is one common purpose. There is one common foundation. And that's what we all have in common when we're building on the foundation. And do you know that there is a border to Christian unity? You know, I think unity is so important. In fact, I told you a few weeks ago, it's one of the reasons I chose for us to go through the book of Ephesians, but it is not unity at all cost. There is a border to Christian unity. And again, this has been talking about unity, and Ephesians is going to continue to talk about it, but there's a borderline to Christian unity. Unity in the church is confined to the area of the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. That's where the building is unified. Everything that's within the border of the apostles and prophets, with Christ as the chief cornerstone, that is where our unity lies. It's just like a building is built within a certain plot. There's a certain plat. There is a layout. There is a floor plan. And in that area, there is unity in the building. Not outside that area, but within that area. And all of the various diversity of trades are unified around a common blueprint for the building that is to be built according to the designer's desire, and all within a certain area. And that area is the area of the apostles and the prophets. And do you know we have a blueprint that borders our diversity? We call it the Bible, the holy word of God. In fact, the Islamic world refers to Christianity as people of the book. I like that description. We are people of the book. There is a blueprint that God has given that unifies us all into a common faith that we all agree on, and that is our unity. There is a unity of authority that of Christ and the apostles and the prophets, and we are all to be building on that same common foundation. And you know what? If we are on that foundation, there is unity in the church. We can all be unified when it's in the book. When it's in the blueprints, that is our unity. But if we leave the foundation, if we go outside the blueprints, and maybe lay another foundation, and we go outside the book, then unity is lost. And we do not hold to unity at all cost when we go outside the blueprint and outside the book. There is disunity when we don't follow the blueprint. There is disunity when we leave the foundation. When we can't say, this is what Christ taught, this is what the apostles taught, this is the perimeter of the prophets and the apostles. That's the context of our unity. Christian unity is in our connectivity to the foundation. So let's not be deceived into thinking we have to be unified at all costs. We don't. In fact, we shouldn't. When it's outside the foundation. When it's outside the blueprint. Because our unity is in connectivity to the foundation that has already been laid. Well, as we end our time today, I just want to give an admonition and maybe a prayer request to pray that we stay as a church, as individual believers, but to pray that we would stay within the parameters of the foundation. We are to be built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone, and pray that we stay within that boundary, that we don't cantilever over the foundation because we will break off. We got to stay within that foundation and stay within that blueprint. In Acts 2:42, we read of the early church that they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine. That's what brought them all together. That's what they could all agree on. It's what Christ taught and what the Christ apostles taught and what the prophets taught from the Old Testament that laid all the groundwork. This is what brings us together. A common truth. A common thing that brings us together so that we might worship God. In fact, in 1 Timothy 3:15, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is described as the pillar and foundation of truth. Again, we don't worship God just in a certain location or a certain place, but we worship God in a certain person. And His select persons of the apostle, and a common profession of faith, a truth that every Christian holds dear. And that truth is the unifying factor that brings us all together, the unifying factor of our faith. One body. One building, on one plot of ground, one plat, if you will, on the one person, the Lord Jesus Christ, being one community, holding one confession of faith, and built on one foundation. And that is where every Christian should be unified. And I pray that would be so in your heart today as an individual believer. Examine your heart and say, am I within the parameters of Scripture? You know, or am I outside the apostles and prophets and Jesus Christ? Well, come inside, be on the building, and then get to building upon the foundation of Christ and His apostles. Well, why don't we stand, and we're just going to sing a concluding hymn of an invitation. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. I pray that is the case for you today. If you're not on Jesus Christ, then you're not on a good foundation. So I pray that you might have faith in Him. I think it's number 350 in the book.
Foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is His new creation by Spirit and the Word. From heavy hymns of her to be His holy bride, with His own blood He bought her, and for her life He died.
Why don't we go ahead and just sing the rest? We're out early today, so we'll sing the other two. If you don't like that, we'll sing more than one.
Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth, a charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. Partakes one holy food, and to promises with every grace endued.
Then the last one.
Mid toil and tribulation and tumult of a war, she waits the consolation of peace forevermore. Till with the vision glorious, her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest.
Amen. Do remember that today is the day of rest, the day that we rest from our other worldly labors to remind ourselves that we are resting in Christ. It's not our works, but we are resting upon His great work in our behalf. So I pray that you might have a blessed Lord's Day and that you might rest in Him. But wake up in time to come back tonight at 6 o'clock. Because we're going to have hopefully another good time of fellowship and talking about how we might encourage each other in our faith. So may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you and may God cause His face to shine upon you and may He be gracious to you. May the Lord turn to you and smile and may you have peace on this day and in all of your days and on that final great judgment day. Amen and amen.